Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. SDPB's Kevin Wooster joins us on Thursdays. You can read his blog on every day at sdpb.org/Wooster. Kevin, thanks for being here.
Oh, it's great to be back, Lori.
Let's jump right in with President Trump and South Dakotan former governor and Congressman Bill Janklow. We started this last week just a little bit, and tell me just what a week has brought with feedback on it, first of all.
Well, there were some people that were I did kind of a review of the two, in my opinion, and while there are some similarities between them in style, there certainly, in my mind, is little to compare them in any serious way in substance, because Janklow, whether you liked his politics or you liked the way he went about them or you liked some of the things he did, was a substantive man and had remarkable information gathering and retaining qualities. We're just a very inquisitive guy. And so far, and I may have missed it, but so far I haven't seen a great deal of inquisitiveness in President Trump in terms of how he looks at issues and how, you know, I think he said he doesn't read much, if any at all, in terms of books. And Janklow devoured books along with just about everything else, including government documents and reports and, anything. You just never knew what he was going to be excited about from science, high tech, broadband studies, child development, brain development. You never know. There was that comparison that I don't think flies. And some Janklow people were offended that I would even make the comparison because they said there is no comparison between the two. And I think there are some points of comparison, but President Trump doesn't compare favorably when it comes to knowledge of government and actually a respect for government. Janklow believed in using government in many ways.
Right. So how about President Trump supporters, people who really like him or like what he's brought to Washington? Did they have sort of a different take on the comparison than maybe some people who didn't vote for President Trump?
I have only heard, I guess, from one of those who said, I'm just showing my bias, that I don't like Trump, and I did respect Janklow. And I certainly knew Janklow a lot better than I know Donald Trump, because I've never paid much attention to Donald Trump, and I didn't pay much attention to him, really, until about the second week in November. And I've been paying a lot of attention to it. But that's what I heard most. And as I actually got a call from a couple of longtime Janklow people that had known him, worked for him early in his administrations, and just said, quit it. Quit making the comparison. There is no comparison. You know, he was just so much more of a leader, so much more of a person, I'm sure there are Trump people out there that would believe that about their man, too.
Sure. Kevin, that insatiable curiosity and, flexible, exciting intellect that Janklow had, did that show up in the way he governed? And if so, can you kind of give me an idea what that looked like?
Well, it looked like chaos, but not in the way that Trump's governance looks like chaos. I mean, it was I was talking to a former cabinet member, cabinet secretary, this morning, and she was talking about, actually, her name's Deneen Hollinsworth, and she was a health secretary for a long time. And we were talking about getting calls from Janklow, and she said you'd get a call at 10 o'clock at night, maybe, or whatever, whenever you got it, and said, hold for the governor, and you'd go, uh-oh, what's this about? And then three or four other people would be beeped in, and they'd be going, do you know what this is about? I don't know what this is about. And then it would be the governor had read something. The governor had talked to somebody. The governor had been at a meeting somewhere, and somebody raised an issue with him. And I've said in the past that Governor Bill Janklow's desk was a place where problems went to be solved. And more so than any governor or any politician maybe I've ever been around, that was just a rapid-fire, machine-gun process of issues and proposed solutions and arguments about how you might come to a solution. And at his best, Janklow was amazingly innovative about coming up with ideas how you might solve those things. I mean, a kid talked to him about high rates of phone calls at SDSU on campus. He had some very combative conversations with campus students at different meetings in his time as AG and governor. But he became angry that the local phone utility he thought was overcharging students. And I'm digging out of memory here in conversations.
Sure, but, sure.
And ended up calling Ma Bell and saying, can't you do better? And we got a bunch of kids that are paying more than they should be paying, I think. And I've got all this unused phone capacity in the state system. We don't do much with it at night. Can't kids have phone calls to their parents that are cheaper at night? And went and made an arrangement, as I recall, for some time to provide service to them. I mean, he was always doing stuff like that. He was, you know, when he came up with using inmates to wire schools, to fight fires, to show up after floods and things, that was always a solution. Can't we use this to make this work? By a railroad that was being abandoned, try to slurry coal from Wyoming to the southern power plants using Missouri River water. That one didn't work out. And some of them didn't. But it was always a solution-oriented process.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Kevin Wooster. You can find his blog at sdpb.org/Wooster. And we're talking about a column that he wrote on that blog, talking about the differences between President Donald Trump and our own Bill Janklow and some of the similarities. And I'm wondering, Kevin, if the fact that President Trump has been in office, you know, less than 100 days, if maybe it's too soon to tell if I agree with you that he doesn't have the, you know, the reading appetite that Governor Janklow did, for example. But is it too soon to tell if his desk is a place where problems go to be solved?
It probably is too soon. And I'm trying to be patient, and I have a kind of an inherent weakness that some of my friends call it anyway, in that I want to like presidents. You know, when people become presidents, I have an inclination towards liking them and supporting them. That's just something I want to do. So I'm trying to be patient with President Trump. If you look, though, at statements, and Governor Janklow, particularly as governor, didn't get much chance to be congressman because of another, you know, another flaw that he had, or a circumstance that was a horrible tragedy that, you know, ended his political career. But that he believed in a kind of a populist way about using government to help people, and that sometimes included spending money on it. I'm trying to track down a recollection that I have about a conversation on Janklow's concern about senior citizens who couldn't get dental coverage under Medicare, low-income senior services, which I just found out about because I can't get dental coverage under Medicare. So I popped back into my head. And I can't find anybody that can remember that taking a bill form, but I'm sure there was a conversation with him, and it could have been with reporters. But his philosophy was we have to find a way, and maybe it's a state program, to provide dental care to low-income seniors because their health will be shot if they don't take care of their teeth. Mm-hmm. And he had a mother that ran nursing homes, and he understood federal regs and kind of hated some of them through his mother's experience. Also understood important health care needs for elderly. And same thing Danine and I were talking about this morning about when the CHIPS program came in the 90s. Great program. States decided, do you want to include dental care and vision care? And that's an extra cost. And Janklow was adamant when some legislators were saying in a meeting, how do I tell my constituents that they have to pay for their kids' eyeglasses, but somebody else doesn't? He said, tell them all kids deserve to see when they go to school. All kids deserve to have teeth that don't hurt when they're trying to sleep. And South Dakota included dental and vision in that CHIPS program. And those are the things, you know, he could be a bully, he could be a rascal, he could be difficult, he could be mean-spirited, but a lot of the times that people only saw those parts of him didn't see all these other parts, and they were ongoing.
I have one personal memory of Governor Bill Janklow. Mm-hmm. Would you like to hear it, Kevin? Did I tell you last week?
Oh, I love him.
So all this happened, you know, before my time here. And so my one memory is I was at a church and I knew a man in the congregation who was dying of cancer. And he asked all the Marines that he knew to be pallbearers at his funeral. I was one of those. And he asked, you know, Bill Janklow to be a pallbearer. And after his death, we stood at the front of that church together and sang the Marines hymn and carried the casket. And that's my one memory of Bill Janklow sort of standing by his side and doing that for someone that my understanding was their relationship began when our friend Bob wrote a letter to him. So it wasn't a longtime friend of him. Yeah. They just built that relationship. So we're kind of out of time here, but we want to hear your comments on Governor Bill Janklow, any comparisons and differences you see with our current president. Go online, sdpb.org/Wooster, to read Kevin Wooster's full piece there. You can comment right there or send us a text, 956-SDPB. Kevin, thanks so much for everything there.
Great to be back, Mark.